of Ecclesiastes, which reminds us of the futility of hoarding riches and the transient value of our earthly toils. May we find contentment in the blessings you bestow upon us, understanding that true joy and satisfaction come not from material abundance, but from a heart aligned with your purposes. As we worship you this morning, open our eyes to see beyond the temporal and attune our hearts to the eternal truths of your kingdom. May our worship be pleasing to you, and may our lives reflect our commitment to serve you wholeheartedly. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our treasure and our light. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 37.
And we will be singing all five verses.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing.
Spirit three in one. Oh, praise.
creation, at what Jesus Christ has done, that he has delivered God's mercy and love to us, and we pass that peace that's so precious and dear to us that he shares with us, we share with others. So let us pass the peace of our Lord. Do, 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 do. You doing all right?
Yeah, babe. Doing good today.
Yeah, it's
walking
good.
Walking without the cane, I'll
hey,
take it.
Hey, that's good. I'm glad. Hey, Heather, how are you? It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Top of the day.
You got such a great voice. It's always nice to hear you right up there up front.
I just can't count anymore.
Hey, well, I think we were a little off there at times. Good to see you again. Hope you have a nice morning.
Hope you made it again.
Hey, Joel. Yeah, that was nice. Now, normally we come into our prayer of confession, but this morning, as it is All Saints Day, we take on a different task. We'll come to our prayer of confession momentarily. But in the life and witness of the church, we've set aside the first Sunday in November for the remembrance of the saints of the church. And this year, to be sure, we have saints that we've lost. But the declaration that we make is a profound one as we come forward and light these candles to remember the life and the love of the person that is no longer with us. We declare that person, although they're not with us, rest now perfectly and safely and eternally with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We make the claim in the lighting of these candles that that person, though they're not with us, is safe. Safe and at home, where they can exist and rest with their loving and eternal God. This is a countercultural moment in some real ways. So much of what the world thinks of us is related to what we do and hear. Here, as we light these candles and remember these precious saints, we declare that a person's value and worth isn't in the work or toil of their wrists and hands, but is instead eternally bound and found in the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us remember these saints of our church as we travel forward, remembering the good times and good joy and work that they did on behalf of Jesus Christ, on behalf of their families, and perhaps even on behalf of ourselves. We'll begin this morning. We'll say the name of a family member. We'll light the candle, and then we'll take a few moments to just rest and remember the loved one. So let us begin. And we begin this morning by remembering Hazel Dunn. This morning, Cook's Church remembers Pat Thompson. This morning, Cook's Church remembers Doris Todd. This morning, Cook's Church remembers Deanna T. Jones. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these saints of our church that have gone on to your glory. Heavenly Father, we know that they rest now perfectly with you, awaiting that day in which the trumpet sounds and in which we're given new imperishable bodies. But for now, we know and rejoice that they are held safely in the most tender embrace of our Lord. Heavenly Father, be with us in the power of your Holy Spirit, providing the members of this church, as well as these saints' loved ones, with the fullness of your assurance. Allow each of us to dwell richly in the knowledge that Hazel and Pat and Doris and Deanna are all now safely ensconced with you in the joys of heaven. Alert us to the ongoing love of Jesus Christ that's in our lives as a result of their good work and their good love of you, O Lord. Allow us to be thankful and knowledgeable about Jesus Christ. We prepare, Heavenly Father, for the day in which we come to you. For your word tells us that whether we live or whether we die, that our lives are entirely yours. So keep us, Father God, today safe and remembering our loved ones as we look forward to that grand reunion that will come in the kingdom's arrival. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. we come now into a time of confession. We unburden our souls corporately and then silently, individually, expecting to encounter God's mercy and grace. We know that is what we get, and because of we can read the Bible, in which we see that all that Jesus Christ did and accomplished, he did and accomplished for us. So let us be bold in our confession, both individually and corporately. Join me as we pray our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Gracious God, we confess that often our hearts are captivated by the treasures of this world, leading us to store up possessions that neither satisfy nor last. We acknowledge that our pursuit of material wealth has, at times, overshadowed our pursuit of you. We have allowed the anxieties of this age and the lure of riches to divert our focus from what truly matters. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times we have sought satisfaction in the fleeting and overlooked the eternal joy and contentment that come from you. Redirect our hearts that we may seek first your kingdom and righteousness. In your mercy, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you a great and wonderful truth, one that's made and declared in the Bible, that Christ Jesus in the fullness of time took flesh. He lived, breathed, ate, dwelled among us. He did it all because we were a wayward people needing reconciliation. We needed restoration to the relationship with our Father God, which is exactly what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Now we've reached the time in our service where we make a declaration about what we believe, and what we believe is succinctly encapsulated for us in the Apostles' Creed, and so we declare it together. I invite you to join me. The words are found also in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 54.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Good morning. You want to come a little closer? Good job. Got it? We'll put it down here. That makes it a little easier. While he's dropping in his quarters, I'll ask you guys a question. So if your house was to catch fire and you could only grab three objects, what would you grab?
All my cats.
Objects. Can't be living. Three cats. What do we think? Maybe like a... Go ahead. Okay. Like what? Like a PlayStation? Something expensive maybe? Yeah. What about like a maybe favorite stuffed animal? Jewelry. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And probably phone. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. What do we think? Why would we grab these things? Because they matter to you? They cost a lot of money. They have value, right? Yeah. Memories. Okay, there you go. Yeah, it has value. They're treasures here on earth, right? I think we can all admit that we have a list of things we would want to grab and rescue from the flames. But I think it's important to remember these treasures on earth. They don't last forever. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus reminds us not to store up treasures on earth where they can be ruined or stolen, maybe by a fire, but instead to store up treasures in heaven. For where our treasure is, our hearts are also. Clutter is not only material, though. It can be in your mind. It's important to be careful about holding on to things like grudges, negative habits, or maybe bad memories that we can stack up and store with us. Jesus is the perfect example of this. He didn't have a lot of money or even a permanent home to live in, but he kept his eyes focused on serving God and building relationships and sharing love. This doesn't mean that we can't have nice things or sometimes carry anger with us. We just need to remember not to replace God as a priority in our lives. Pray with me. Hey God, we ask you to show us which things in our lives are causing clutter. And direct us to build and store up heavenly treasures. In your name we pray.
Your name.
Amen.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us afresh in this reading and proclamation of your word. Deliver to us, O Lord, clear and undivided instructions on how we should live our lives to give you greatest glory. For we know that in giving you glory, we align ourselves with our true purpose and thus find our true contentment. So prepare us, Father God, for this, and that may our lives be changed through the reading and proclamation of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was thinking as I was sitting here, and I was trying to get my tongue all right for reading, how really, really grateful that I am that we can come into this church and feel safe and enjoy the serenity of being in God's presence. And the day yesterday, coming in, the serenity that was in the church when we did our prayer vigil, how blessed we are to be able to be free to just come and do this. And we take it so for granted. But know that there are people in other parts of the world that are worried about a bomb landing on them while they're worshiping God. And please keep those people in your prayer. It's my sermon for the day. I'm going to be reading from you from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 10 through 20. It's in page 661 in your pew Bible. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain, since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is a familiar passage. It comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount, which is that core ethical teaching that Jesus does that comprises chapters 5 through 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. It's an important passage for us to hear at any time, but especially in this time as we find ourselves careening toward Christmas and its occasionally dual meanings of both the arrival of Jesus Christ as well as the arrival of a lot of packages from Amazon. And so we remember what Jesus Christ taught us about kind of the deleterious effects of materialism. And we hear Jesus directly here speaking to us in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24. I invite you to hear the word of our Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I was very fortunate. I didn't think so at the time. I was, like most, a little ungrateful in my younger days. But upon my 16th birthday, I was delivered a car. Now, it wasn't a new car. It was my mom's hand-me-down car. It was, to be specific, a 1978 fire engine red Plymouth Volare sedan with red vinyl interior. Man, that thing was a bucket, right? But it was a car, and it went from point A to B, and even though at Charlotte Country Day it was a little embarrassing to park that 1978 fire engine red Plymouth Volare besides my friends' BMWs and Mercedes, it was my car, and I loved it. There's one thing I didn't like about it when I got it. It was the fact that it had, no kidding, just an AM/FM stereo, right? Like, it had no tape deck, right, which was the industry standard at the time. This was, of course, the days before CDs and long before MP3s or streaming music service. So I was resolved that I was going to get a top-notch, state-of-the-art sound system for this 1978 fire engine red Plymouth Volare. And I saved a lot of money. I worked at a restaurant, and then I sold cars for a little while. And, I mean, I saved up a boatload and went to this place called Audio Express on Independence, and, well, I let the guy sell me, right? Next thing you know, I'm driving out of the lot with an obscenely priced car stereo system. I mean, the thing had bass cannons in the trunk. I mean, I was, right? It was loud and did its thing. And what I remember the most about it was it had this little face of the thing. Car theft at the time, or car stereo theft at the time, was a big deal. So this thing had a thing where you just took the face off and you took it with you, and that prevented it from being stolen. It was really high tech, right? Man, and I spent a ridiculous amount of money on this thing. Well, anyway, about 6 months later, I'm coming down Park Road from my girlfriend's house, and my car gets totaled. I remember my dad saying that I was probably putting more into the car stereo than the car was worth. And it was in a conversation that I had with the insurance adjuster for Liberty Mutual, in which I found out that they were offering me $500 for my total Plymouth Volare when the wreck happened. And I said, but what about my $X,000 stereo system? And there's this long pause on the phone, and the woman goes, well, I guess you could go get it out of the car, which was a pretty good indication that they weren't going to pay me money for the actual thing. If only I had learned that lesson at 18 years old, that the treasures of this earth were always going to lead us down a kind of a negative train. That isn't to say that we can't have nice things, but as we set our hearts upon them, as we put our energy and our efforts and our belief and our hopes and our dreams and our aspiration on the things of this earth, what the Bible tells us is we will always, underline that, always find ourselves in great disappointment. Hear again what Jesus Christ says about the treasures of this earth. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermins destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. It's in 1 Peter that we get a differing picture of what we can have. And there, what Peter, to the Apostle Peter, tells the gathered readers of that letter is that our inheritance is undefiled and kept waiting in heaven for us, where, good news, there are no moths, there are no thieves that will destroy or steal it from us. That there is, in this sweet word that Jesus Christ gives us, the answer to our ongoing disappointments. You know, believe it or not, psychologists actually have a name for the effect that we all experience, finding ourselves enjoying new things for a period of life, but then finding our contentment return to its baseline. It's called the hedonic treadmill. And the idea is that you're on this treadmill and you're running at such a pace, but then you get something new, so you run a little faster. And it's nice and exciting, the new speed, the air in your hair, right? It's nice, but over time, sometimes very quickly, you slow back down and you're back to your old self. But the thing is, now you need something more to get that same excited effect. The first thing won't do it. So when you get a new car, you think, hey, this is great. I'm going to be happy forever. Then a week goes by and a month goes by and you're not as happy. But your expectation for happiness has gone up a little bit. So what they call this treadmill is this ongoing scurrying like a rat, with this desire to reach some expected end of contentment and happiness. And what we find time and time again is only disappointment and bitterness. There is in the things of this world no salve, no balm, no panacea to be found. And Jesus tells us as much in this reading from Matthew's 6th chapter. And we can't forget just the terrible effects that materialistic thinking has on our society, both as individuals and corporately. You know, I'll never forget about 15 years ago that Best Buy had this amazing holiday ad campaign, and it was simple. It simply said, you better, with the idea that purchase of your newest 1080i television was going to somehow make you even more you, which of course means that you're happier, right? But it doesn't work out that way. The fact of the matter is we plunk down that $600 for that new high-definition television, and we're happy for a day, maybe a week, and if we're lucky, a month. But then the nature of modern society gets to us. You see, never before in the history of humanity have we been exposed to as many ongoing ads in our lives as we do today. You know, if we peel back the pages of the calendar just 25 years, believe it or not, we were seeing on the order of 5 times less advertising messages. We weren't always with our faces in the screens and constantly being bombarded with the newest and the greatest products to be bought. And the fact of the matter is that ongoing, that incessant urge and calling of material goods, it leads us to stray, subtly at first and then significantly as time goes forward. You see, as we get onto that hedonic treadmill and find ourselves getting the things we want more and more, and invariably, we find ourselves disappointed. But Jesus tells us that there is another way, because he knows that materialism is going to cost us so many things. First of all, being overly materialistic tends to see us draw less contentment and seek out others much less frequently. When our minds are on that new Xbox or the new widget that we've simply got to have to make our lives perfect and content, then what we do is we tend to minimize the time we spend with other people, the getting together, because our minds are captivated by that carrot that we think we simply must have. We let go of the things that are the most important and valuable to us, and that give us the most long-term contentment. You see, the things of this earth, just like that stereo system in that 1978 fire engine red Velari, will invariably leave us cold and off-put. There is also so many consequences of materialism. There's an ecological consequence that we can't ignore. We've got younger people that are increasingly anxious and worried, which is also a side effect of an increased desire to have and accumulate things. Don't miss this. We are getting less happy, less enjoyment out of life because we want more and more. And we see this most clearly in a distillation through today's influencer culture. You know, when it first started appearing on my radar was when my kids started watching these little YouTube videos. And I was mystified at first because they were watching kids do things that they, that very moment, could be doing themselves. But there they were watching and consuming other people's lives. But now we see that trend has become in full steam. And so what's happening is kids are constantly being bombarded on social media with messages, memes, and other things that encourage them to consume more and more. More and more of everything. And as a result, kids are getting less and less content and more anxious, which is exactly psychologically what's known. When we shift our emphasis from the things of God, from spiritual things, to the things of this earth. Now, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms that we need to put our focus and our emphasis on heaven, and that there is the solution, there is the answer. So we're called to reject materialism for Jesus Christ. You know, in this particular section of the Gospel of Matthew, this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the most clear ethical teaching that we're going to get in the entirety of the New Testament, I'm convinced. Now, there's ethical teaching all over. I mean, you can't hardly open a page and not find it. But there in the Sermon on the Mount is a distillate, if you will, condensed all about how to live and operate our lives. And what's interesting is immediately following this portion of Matthew's gospel, which focuses us on not lusting after the things of this earth, the next section deals with anxiety, which is perfect because that's the relief that we need from our materialism. We need the relief that comes through the awareness that even our anxiety will diminish as we let go of our drive and desire for more things and greater access to goods and possessions. You know, the fact of the matter is that as we walk forward more and more in Jesus Christ, we desire less and less because what we want for others, not for ourselves. And that's how you know that those first steps toward Jesus' way have happened, is that you're taking greater enjoyment in other people's enjoyment of things than you are even of your own. It's a real turn that lets you know that Jesus Christ has come alive in your heart and in your mind. You know, I'm always interested in celebrities, people that have made a substantial amount of money who find something else in life, something more valuable. I can't help but think of Bono from U2. You know, it's interesting. I remember being at Myers Park Presbyterian Church, and on their Wednesday night educational component, one of the members of the church taught a class, U2 and the Gospel, right? And I thought, well, that's just kind of a silly thing to be teaching, right? But I went, and it turns out, no kidding, Bono, who's the lead singer of the band U2, who the class was about, is a deeply Christian person and has real belief that comes through in his music. And it was interesting to see and to hear. And Bono is not one of these guys that collects mansions like you and I might collect baseball cards. He's very sober and restrained in his lifestyle and in his love for the Lord. He gives considerably. So there are people like that. And of course, if you look back, there was a man named John Newton. Now, who's John Newton? Well, he was some guy that lived in the 19th century in Britain. And what we need to know about John Newton is he was fantastically wealthy. You see, his parents and his grandparents were involved, well, you guessed it, in the slave trade. And he participated in it directly. I mean, he was on boats and reaping the profits. He was an extraordinarily rich man. But then as God's providence would happen, one night on the ship with a boatload of humans that they were going to sell, they hit inclement weather and the ship was tossed back and forth. And in that moment, God broke into John Newton's life. He changed it. He got off that boat and he left behind the practice of slavery, sales of slavery, and began to dedicate more and more of his life, his efforts, and his work into the eradication of slavery. As a matter of fact, a song that we sing, Amazing Grace, being about it's about him, really. And it's about him being turned by God from this materialistic way of life that we know psychologically beyond doubt leads us to sorrow and sadness and emptiness, and instead found that joy that can only be found in one place. There isn't an abundance of warehouses. There aren't as many ways to get there as there may be to get Amazon goods to our home. But there is one way that we can be content and at peace in this world, and that's through following Jesus Christ. Because as we follow him and walk more and more in his ways, we are blessed more and more with an abundance of the Holy Spirit, and we receive more of that fruit, that precious fruit of the Holy Spirit that we all live and long for: love and joy, peace and kindness and gentleness and many other things. Friends, as we let go of our desires for more things and instead grab hold of Jesus with more firm hands, we are going to find more and more that our lives sing with the joy of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord our God the concerns of our heart. So many of us were touched yesterday through the day of prayer, and now we return to it, lifting up to God our concerns about the world, the community, this church, as well as the people that occupy our lives. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just rejoice knowing and trusting in your love and grace and mercy. Before anything was, you were, Father God, and with your word you spoke into existence all we'll ever encounter. And gracious God, we rejoice in the manifold grace and provision that you provide us with. And Heavenly Father, we pray today just asking that in this world still broken by sin, that you would allow your peace to descend into all the broken spaces of the world. We pray that peace would erupt in the Middle East and in Ukraine, and in all places in which men and women turn weapons on one another against your commands, Father God. Heavenly Father, bring your peace like a river to all of those places that hurt under the lash of violence and human greed. Heavenly Father, we pray for our community. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless this part of Charlotte with much abundance. Bless us with kind people and functioning churches and glorious places for people to be with one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you and just pray for West Charlotte and that we would see Jesus Christ continue to be venerated and loved here in your midst. Heavenly Father, so too do we pray for this church. We just ask, O Lord, that you would fill us with the spirit of your wisdom and your grace. Allow us to know with certainty how we need to proceed forward. Heavenly Father, we all yearn for days in which our pews are robustly packed with people all celebrating Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, help us, restore us, and return us. Allow us to be bold and do whatever it takes to find those days yet again. Gracious God, we pray for all of the sick and the grieving and the lonely and the anxious today, remembering before you by name Diane Black and Elizabeth Bullock. We pray for Eileen Gant and Jack Parker. We pray for Dennis Abernathy and Charlie McCrary. We pray for Dale Lucky and Jill Griffin. We pray for Sarah Justice and Tom McClure. We pray for Nancy and Richard Smith. We also pray, O Lord, for all of the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer, as well as all of those we've named silently in our hearts and all those unknown to us but known to you. Bring each according to their need, and most especially, Father God, share with them the awareness of Christ's eternal mercy and love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the saints of our church that have gone on in this past year, and we just pray that you would watch over their families and remind us all of their safety in you. We make all these prayers today, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. This God from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are so wonderful toward us and bless us in so many ways. Heavenly Father, it's an honor and a blessing to bring a portion of what you give us back to you. Now, Father God, we just ask that you bless and sanctify this offering, using it to bring about your light in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, as we let go of our materialism more and more, we find ourselves grabbing on to Jesus Christ with more and greater gusto. And finding our anxieties relieved and our joy increasing, we know the truth of this passage of the Gospel of Matthew. That where our eyes and our heart and our treasure lie, there is where our heart will be also. So let us find it in Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.